The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
If you are a believer and are living in sin and you're not convicted, could this mean that you're really not saved? And how does a believer continue to have assurance of eternal salvation? Thank you, friend, for joining us today. This is Grace in Focus. We are a ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Our website is faithalone.org. One thing you will find there is information about our free online seminary where you can earn an MDiv degree. Our next semester starts in September. Application and registration begins May 4th, so you be praying about that. We'd love to have you join us and study with us. Get all the information you need at faithalone.org. And now with today's question and answer discussion, here is Bob Wilkin along with Sam Marr.
All right, Bob, we've got a question from Simon on assurance and conviction of sin. So his question is, lately I've been hearing that if a believer doesn't feel convicted of their sin, it is probably because they are not saved. How would you understand this? I understand John 16:8, and I believe 1 John 5:13 says that we can know we have eternal life. I believe this type of teaching does away with that assurance. So how would you answer this with Scripture?
Okay, that's a good question, and I've heard a lot of people talk about this. For example, there was a leading lordship pastor, and he was asked by a young woman, how does she know she's saved? Because she finds herself struggling in her Christian life to live the way she wants to live. And she said, I'm very upset about this, but I don't see enough fruit to convince me I'm saved. And the lordship speaker said, well, the very fact that you're concerned about this and that you're convicted about it shows that you're born again. Well, both sides of that equation are wrong. A person can be a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Muslim or a Roman Catholic or a Jehovah's Witness or a Latter-day Saint and be convicted of their sin. And they could be sorry for their sin and, you know, they can confess their sin and everything else. That doesn't mean they believe the promise of everlasting life. On the other hand, a person who's in the spiritual far country, like the prodigal son of Luke 15, while he's in the far country, he may not be convicted of his sin the whole time. He obviously gets convicted at the start, but once he hardens his heart, he may go through a period of time when he's not convicted of his sin. In his case, in Luke 15, it says he came to his senses. And that's when he decided to return to the Father. But there was a time when he didn't come to his senses. And when he came to his senses is when he repented. So I would say point number one is this just doesn't make any sense. The way I know I'm born again, according to John's gospel, is because I believe what Jesus promises. Like in John 11:25-27, Jesus lays out that whoever believes in him, though he may die, yet he shall live, that he's guaranteed to be resurrected and glorified, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That is, that the believer is guaranteed that he has everlasting life that'll never go away. And then he asked Martha if she believes this. He didn't ask her, are you convicted about your sin? He didn't say, well, here's how you know you really believe it, because you're convicted. No, he just said, do you believe this? Now, our questioner, who is it, Simon?
Yep.
So he brings up John 16:8. Well, that's the reference where it says the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Obviously, that verse contradicts the very question that Simon is asking. Because if he's convicting the world, the world is everybody. The world isn't just those who are born again. It's everybody. And so it's the same world as John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Or the world in 1 John 2:2, he's the propitiation for our sins and not for ours only. That is not only for believers, but for the sins of the whole world. So, yeah, John 16:8 supports the idea that the only condition of eternal life is faith in Christ.
But there's a little confusion there that I think we need to address.
All right.
Because the Holy Spirit is convicting the world, but what about a person who's hardened their heart? So if I'm an unbeliever, I am an atheist or just not open to any of these concepts. I've hardened my heart. So the Holy Spirit is convicting me, but I don't feel convicted. I think that's the two sort of separate sides of conviction that we need to analyze. Because I think what he's talking about is a person feeling sorrow or feeling like they need to stop what they're doing when they're sinning.
Okay, I think you're saying there's a difference between being convicted of my sin and feeling convicted of my sin. Is that what you're saying?
Maybe that's what I'm getting at. Because I think everybody knows, you know, if you're doing something wrong and you do it anyway, on some level you know you're doing it. But if you do that thing enough times, you don't feel bad about it anymore. So I think what he's talking about is someone who's sinning and they are a believer, but they don't feel bad about that sin anymore. That's what I think he's saying, because we know from John 16:8 the Holy Spirit is convicting everybody, but not everybody is feeling that conviction.
Right. I guess what I would say is, yes, there are people who harden their hearts, but God has convicted them up until the point at which they harden their hearts. And you could even argue that God is still convicting them. Like, for example, in Romans 1, we're told that the creation reveals the truth about God, and yet they suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Suppressing the truth is something that people can do. But does that mean there's no awareness that they're doing that? I don't know. I wonder. But in any case, the idea that somehow I should doubt my salvation if I don't have a certain level of upsetness about my sin, which is, I think, what this question is talking about, right?
Yeah.
It's not that I don't recognize I'm a sinner. There's no believer. You notice his question is about a believer, right?
Yeah.
There's no believer that's going to say, I don't recognize I'm a sinner. Well, that's not totally true. I have met a few people who believe in absolute sinless perfection.
Mm-hmm.
I remember once I met someone who said that she hadn't sinned in 25 years. Well, that person is an extreme minority.
It's coming. It'll be here before you know it. What am I talking about? The Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2026, May 18th through the 21st at Camp Copus, an absolutely beautiful campground in North Texas, right on the lake with lots of recreation, great food, a great place to stay, wonderful fellowship, and wonderful free grace Bible teaching. Information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. First-timers waive registration fees. faithalone.org/events.
And by the way, Simon's question also illustrates the fact that there are many people who believe there's two types of believers. Believers who are true believers and believers who are false believers, or some kind of believer less than a genuine believer.
Right.
Like they're a miracle believer. They believe in Jesus because of his miracles. Or they're a head faith believer, right? They're not a heart faith believer, but they're a head faith believer. But the other thing is 1 John 5:13. Maybe you could read that, Sam. He's right that it does say that we can know, but I think the way he put it is slightly wrong. But go ahead and read it.
It says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God."
I would translate that differently. The New King James has the longer reading, "and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." And that's not found in the critical text, but the majority of manuscripts have that. But they supply the words "continue to" before "believe."
Mm-hmm.
I think they should also supply the words "continue to" in the first half of the verse. Now, what is the first half again?
"These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life."
I would say that you may continue to know that you have eternal life. Go back to chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. And he's already said in 2:13 to 15 that these are overcoming Christians, strong Christians, mature Christians. And then he says what in 24 and 25?
"Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life."
Notice, this is the promise he has promised us, eternal life. They're not doubting that promise at this point in the letter. And they're not doubting it in 5, 9 through 13. The issue is, and what's the very next verse say? Doesn't it say they're trying to deceive you?
Yeah, these things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you.
And they're trying to deceive you concerning the promise of eternal life. And so his point is, these things I've written that you may continue to know that you have eternal life by continuing to believe the testimony of God, 5, 9, 10, 11, 12. And so how did Simon say it? He said something at 1 John 5:13 says we can know.
Yes, says we can know we have eternal life.
Yeah, and I would say 1 John 5:13 says we do know we have eternal life if we accept the testimony of God, then we know we have eternal life. He who has the Son has the life. And so the only way we can not have assurance is if we stop believing the testimony of God. And one way to stop believing the testimony of God is instead of looking to Christ so that I know I have eternal life, look to yourself and ask yourself, well, let's see, am I really convicted of my sin? If you see that your life is staying pretty stagnant, or worse yet, that you're backsliding, well, then people are going to say you should question your salvation. No, your eternal destiny is based on believing the promise of John 3:16 or John 5:24. It's not based at all on you having some ongoing conviction that you're a sinner, feeling sorry for your sins, or looking at the positive things that have happened in your life.
Yeah, the issue here is fellowship with God. If you find you're at a point in your life where you're no longer convicted of sin, you don't feel sorry, you just do whatever you want, then you might be in the spiritual far country. You're
right.
No longer walking in the light. You're not walking with Christ. You're walking in the dark. And so that's the issue. But like you said, starting to question, well, am I even saved or not? Am I even a believer or not? Is not going to drive you closer to God. It's probably going to drive you further away.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, you mentioned doing whatever you want. I would argue that if we're walking in the light of God's word, and we see the truth of God's word, then we are doing what we want. In other words, if you read Romans 7:13 to 25, Paul says, in the inner man, I delight in the law of God. Mm-hmm. In the inner man, this is what I want to do. And it's only when I take my focus off Christ and put it on the commandments that I find myself getting bogged down in sin, being right. enslaved to sin. So, yeah, I would love to never sin. I'm sure you would as well, and all of our listeners would as well. So we're doing what we want when we're living righteously. Well, I hope that helps, Simon, and I know there's a lot more we could say, but one of the key things is to keep grace
in focus.
Amen.
Be our guest and subscribe to our 48-page magazine, 6 issues per year, also called Grace in Focus, by emailing your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that at faithalone.org. On our next episode, should believers be involved in litigation? Hope you'll join us again, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.